Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome to the Degenerate Hour. Spiegel and Parkins on the score. Spiegel, Parkins, Campy, Jay Zawoski.
We're in.
We're locked in. The four-team divisional round, the money line parlay on the quarterbacks with a combined 75 playoff starts against the quarterbacks with three combined playoff starts.
Your sporting options this weekend include watching football games and seeing if your various bets or our bets come in. They also include going over to the Sheraton Hotel and Towers for the Cubs convention and seeing all the different panels taking place. Maybe watching some live radio tomorrow morning when inside the clubhouse with our Bruce Levine and Mike Esposito is on the air. A cavalcade of guests coming on that show tomorrow morning.
Yeah, I see Pat Hughes, Chili Davis, Chris Bryant, Tom Ricketts, and hopefully Crane Kenny stopping by. Good afternoon, Bruce. Happy Cubs convention day. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, same to you guys. And stop on by the lobby, and we'll be there hanging out. But don't think you're getting into the convention, because obviously that's been sold out for probably about 5 minutes after they went on sale last fall. So sold out event, as it has been for many years, and it's going to be interesting because there's a lot of news that should come out of there, including arbitration day today. As we speak, arbitration figures have to be exchanged between players and front offices, and the last-minute deals, as we saw with Justin Wilson signing here, again, avoiding arbitration. These things will be popping up over the next couple hours here as we wait for teams to exchange. But none will be more interesting than the one for Chris Bryant, who may set a record for first-year arbitration, which is held, I think, around $11 million. He's going to approach that this year.
Do you expect any non-arbitration news to come out this weekend?
No, I really don't. I don't see it right now. I mean, the idea that we'd like to announce to our fans that we signed Jake Arrieta, that we've traded for Chris Archer or Alex Colome, that would be exciting. But that's not how this front office works. This front office works at a pace that's going to be good for the organization and for the fan base for years to come, not just to entice the fan base at the convention. And that's already a pretty solid base of 28,000 season ticket holders, 3.3 million fans showing up at Wrigley Field. It's pretty locked in. So there's no need to have to entertain them by signing someone this week.
Bruce, you've had a lot of info on the Jake Arrieta dealings, what the Cubs offered a couple years ago, what Boris is looking for. Since we last spoke with you, I saw a rumor floated, maybe from Scott, that there were five or six different teams that had made multiple year offers to Jake. What do you believe is the actual situation with Arrieta and all these teams at this point?
Well, I hadn't seen that one. I mean, we certainly have been hearing from Yu Darvish about the four or five teams that have been in, and there's a surprise team that he tweeted out. He's been his own media relations and PR expert when it comes to his free agency. But with Jake, I haven't heard five or six teams. I really have not. I mean, if that's being floated, I think you're right. It might be coming from Scott. And Scott's not a liar when he talks about, you know, having conversations with team or offers. Those are two different things. I think we know for sure that the Cubs have been involved in talking about offers all along with Jake, and they've been serious about it. But we haven't heard that the Cubs have moved off of 4 years. And, you know, frankly, you know, the free agent market, I talk to you guys once or twice a week, still hasn't moved on beyond 3 years. Nobody's signed a contract for more than 3 years. Position player, pitcher, no pitcher signed a contract for higher than the Chatwood deal on December 8th for 3 years and $38 or $39 million. that's you know, that's pretty telling in this marketplace. I think the one thing we might have missed in this marketplace is that there are very good players, there are very good pitchers, but there are no superstars that people think they have to sign, like we'll see maybe next year, you know, when Harper and Machado are out there. So, you know, people are really, you know, teams are really listening to their metrics departments as far as comparisons go on players and giving them a lot of input to go along with the physical information you have from your scouting departments. And right now, you know, Jake and Darvish and Cobb are all fighting for that extra year that doesn't seem to be there at this point.
What are you hearing about the Cubs and Lorenzo Cain's interest?
Well, I know they've had interest all along. I know that they've talked to parameters of deals. I think the Cubs are one of many teams that are thinking about offering a three-year deal, and the money that I've heard being offered to Cain has been low. I'm talking about low for the status of the type of player he thinks he is, somewhere between $13 and $15 million a year times three. He hasn't heard four. He hasn't heard five. He's a very good player, you know, certainly. I mean, Danny, you know him very well, having been in that market, seeing him play every day. He's a top contributor. Defensive metrics support that he's maybe the best center fielder in baseball as far as range factor, as far as assists. No one had more assists in the outfield than Cain. He stole 25 bases. He hits 20 home runs. You know, he's not an RBI man, but he would be a perfect segue into the top of the order, I think, because of his on-base percentage, which is right around 370. So, yeah, 3 years, yes. 4 or 5 years, no.
Okay. How many teams are interested in him?
I'd say there's 4 or 5. You know, I've heard Toronto being a part of the mix. Believe it or not, even Cincinnati, who doesn't appear to be anywhere close to be going after outfielders or offensive players, they think they have plenty of offense and no pitching there. So that makes no sense to me. Yet I heard that team, and you know, even the Brewers have been you know, talked about as a place where he might return.
We're seeing some more arbitration numbers coming in. Just saw a tweet about Jose Abreu settling at around $13 million, avoiding arbitration. So that's an interesting number. It's a little bit lower than I thought maybe for Jose Abreu. But
I mean, I agree with you on that. I thought it would be more 15, 16 after making, I think, 10.7 last year. This is his second to last year of arbitration, putting up 30 and 100 and, you know, hitting 300 again, you know, pretty much his averages over his first, you know, 4 years of his career. I think that is low, and I think it's a great deal for the White Sox, and more importantly, a great deal going forward if he's going to be moved anytime in spring training or going toward the trading deadline in July.
Oh my God, the relative value of sluggers has just plummeted.
Well, it has. I mean, you know, we have 111 guys that hit 20 or more home runs. Okay, think about that. That's a huge number. You know, and 15 or more, you know, probably close to 200. I mean, so the value of 25 home runs really isn't what it was. I mean, you look at, you know, Ian Happ had a really outstanding rookie year. I think he had 25 home runs right in that area. You know, is he valued as one of the top young players in the game? I think, you know, as a switch hitter and guy that can play a couple positions, he should be there, but there's so many people locked into that area of 20 home runs plus right now.
At $13 million, keeping Jose Abreu and letting him be, you know, be a mentor to your guys, it just it makes sense. Like, there's no rush to get him out of town. There really isn't.
No, there isn't. You're right. And he also, you know, that figure prorated, you know, in July will be like what, you know, $4 million left, $4 to $5 million left at the trading deadline. That's going to be pretty enticing. With, you know, you get them for a pennant run, and you get them for another year, probably at 17 to 20 that following year. That's pretty good for what he brings to the party. But you're right, Matt. Keeping him at that rate is, you know, I mean, you don't have a lot of expenditures to begin with. You're going to have one of the lowest payrolls in baseball, so he brings an awful lot of credibility to your team.
Bringing Gonzalez back for the White Sox, it probably cements the five-man rotation. It just came up earlier for a minute on the show. Who do you think starts opening day for the White Sox, Bruce?
It's probably James Shields. I mean, just because of his veteran status, not certainly not because of the way he pitched the last couple of years, but you know, he's a proud veteran. You hope that he can give you 32 starts. You hope he can be 500 and he can have an ERA about 450. That would be ideal, you know, for where he's gone and all the miles that he has on his arm. I mean, you know, think about all the years that he threw 200 innings and, you know, was the ace of a very good pitching staff in Tampa and then again in Kansas City. But, you know, now he's just pitching on gut. So my guess is it's Shields. And then you see some of the younger guys like Lopez, Giolito, you know, Rodon is not going to be ready until, you know, who knows, you know, April, May, June, we don't know, but it's not going to be opening day. So I would say it goes to Shields, but it is a good sign with Gonzalez. The fact that he brings a lot to the party as far as knowing his role, being a mentor, being a professional, a great communicator with everybody across the entire classroom. I mean, you're talking about a guy that can speak everybody's language, literally. And the fact that he knows he'll be probably flipped again in July and embraces the fact that for the amount of time that he'll be here, he'll be a White Sox player and be a contributor. So I think it's a great sign for them.
Bruce, what do you expect to be the storylines coming out of this weekend? I mean, so far we've already heard Anthony Rizzo at his charity event, Joe Maddon at his charity event, talking about how, yes, we retired last year, but this year, raring to go. That, like, sense of optimism, but also just like being in a better mental place. This seems to be where things are going to go, that, you know, and people should expect them to play very good baseball right off the bat. I suspect that to be a big storyline this weekend. Anything else?
Yeah, you know, certainly, you know, the repairing of players, you know, the Schwarber, how does he come back? Is he the guy that we saw more in the second half that was a contributor? Does he still struggle? Jason Hayward and the reality of 30 extra base hits a year for the Cubs and how Chili Davis as a new hitting coach can impact him. And generally, the look of Chili Davis impacting the hitters as far as two-strike approach, hitting the opposite way, having a different philosophy so you're not striking out in key situations all the time. That's going to be part of the rhetoric you hear there. And then, of course, you know, Epstein and Hoyer are going to be you know, pushed to the limit on, is it Cobb? Is it Arrieta? Is it Darvish? You make a trade for Archer. All these things that we've heard ad nauseum here for the last 2 months plus. I mean, it's going on 2.5 months here. The Cubs have done as much as any team out there, you know, signing Chatwood and then going ahead and getting Morrow and Cishek. I think they've done a good job there. Smiley down the line is also signed. So they've done some work there. The problem is that they want another starting pitcher. They don't have an answer for the closer right now. It could be Morrow, but that would be not necessarily ideal. So they have some work to do, and I think that they're not intimidated by the false deadlines that we put on them for the beginning of spring training starting in 30 days or the beginning of the season, beginning of the 2018 season. I think that their deadlines are more about, we have a good team, we're ready to go, we'll add when it makes sense. And if Scott Boras holds his guys out till February or March or whatever he does, you know, we're still in a pretty good place right now.
What do you want to know from Tom Ricketts? He's joining you tomorrow morning at 11:20.
Well, I'd like to know when the completion of Wrigley Field is going to be. I mean, they've done a great job of taking it down and putting it back together. Now they have those 660 luxury seats that they're putting in there, you know, that new area behind the home plate from first base and all the way to third base and home plate, where they're going to have, you know, service for, you know, people to be able to drink and eat in an enclosed area underneath. So some of those things as far as that area goes. And also, you know, I'll ask him about certainly about, you know, the luxury tax, also, you know, and his competitive balance tax, and whether the Cubs are willing to go over that $197 million mark a couple years in a row because of the fact that you're approaching big contracts with your young players down the line and you want to continue to add.
Yeah, are we looking at a delay in terms of some of the ballpark being open on time like we were when they revamped the bleachers a few years back?
I don't know. They've done such a good job. I mean, you're right. You know, we did with, what was that, till mid-May, wasn't it, that year that the bleachers weren't open? I don't think so, because these are in the optimum areas where, you know, these seats are going to go from $440 a game per seat all the way up to $600, $700, depending on the opponent. So this is a main revenue stream and something they want to get off the floor rather quickly. So I doubt you'll see a delay in that.
Yeah, I do too.
I can't wait to sit in one of those seats. But then the usher will be throwing me out 5 minutes later.
Right.
Yeah, I can see it now. Here we are. Listen, none of the bathrooms work, but these seats are available.
For that price?
Right. If you consider the magnitude of the undertaking of taking apart and putting together this beautiful toy known as Wrigley Field that's so old, and what the Cubs have been doing every offseason, you kind of have to tip your hat to them. Done a really good job of doing this rather than closing it down for 2 years, playing at Miller Park or wherever the White Sox,
Guaranteed rate.
What's his name? Yeah, whatever it is.
Wow, you're rusty, Bruce, in the off season.
I don't like, I know the name, but I don't like giving the name out. I just don't. And it's nothing against the company. It's a great company. I just, it's just that Errol Down thing really bothers me. But nonetheless, where the White Sox play, and it's a good place. They could have played there, but instead the Cubs have done this. So, I hope they get it done here by 2020. Ballpark should be done by then. Mm-hmm. We should have a new TV deal. We're going to hear more about that, and that's something else I'll talk to Tom about, the revenue streams from the new TV deal, if they're going to join in with the White Sox, the Bulls, and the Blackhawks again are going to go out on their own. Ever-changing cable business has really changed some things over the last year or so, as you guys well know.
Bruce Levine, great stuff. Thank you. We'll see you out there.
All right, thanks, guys. Take care.
That segment with Bruce brought to you by Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. Still taking your child's temperature the way it was done decades ago. Upgrade to the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. The Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer, available at fine retailers everywhere.
I got two things to follow up from there. You want them now or you want them after the break?
I want them after the break. And we've got our celebrity picker, the local Olympian, one of the fastest female skaters in the world. Hockey player skaters, in the world. Coming up at 12:30 on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Spiegel and Parkins brought to you by Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. Ready for a bad cold and flu season? A cold is a cold, but flu brings fever. Be prepared with the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer, backed by medical professionals everywhere. 5 minutes, our celebrity picker, a local Olympian, one of the best female hockey players in the world, who is the fiance of Broncos offensive lineman Michael Schofield. So the celebrities are neck and neck with Joe Ostrowski. This year they are actually up by mere percentage points. One win against one tie is all that is separating Joe and the celebrities. So she's got some NFL knowledge, and she's going to be picking games.
Yeah, I was going to say, engaged to an NFL player.
Yeah.
Means that she's more educated about picking games than
us.
Me.
Yeah.
Us.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So we'll do that coming up in a few minutes. But you said you wanted to talk about something that Bruce said.
Yeah, two quick items. One is I'm looking at Wrigley Aerials. That's the Twitter account where you can take a look at what's going on. And it does look a little bit better than I realized. The last time I had seen that the area behind the plate, there were no seats. There was no ramps. There was no...
I don't think they're going to play games with no seats.
Yeah, but no, see, it looks like the seats are back. So I guess they have finished at least that part of it, of getting the top side to look okay. Whether they open the club in time or not is a different thing. We'll have to see. But every time I look at this, I'm like, how the hell are they going to get it ready? There's so much going on over there, and it's in such a weird state. It's fun to follow along with and see how that thing's going.
Money.
Oh, yeah.
Is how they're going to get it ready.
A lot of people working.
Money.
Paying the money.
Construction. And there's still, 80 days? like some of the things that you could do in 80, 90 days until the first game that you have to play there when you got enough money.
Yeah.
It's amazing what you can build and accomplish.
And shout out to our guy, Mailman Keith, who wondered, why the F would you pay $700 for a single ticket to a game? You wonder why people in this state struggle? Probably because morons are spending a week plus of pay for a 3 hour seat at a baseball game. Mailman Keith. Keith, I love you. But the people who are paying $700 for a single ticket, that's not their week's worth of pay.
No, it's not. It's not. Sometimes really rich people are figuring out ways to spend their money.
Like absurdly, stupidly rich people.
Yeah.
Wealthy people. They probably don't,
owners of the team.
Yeah. They probably don't work as hard as you, Keith, and they make a lot more for whatever reasons. It's an age-old societal issue. But
and maybe they do work harder than all of us.
Maybe they do.
Yeah, that's absolutely maybe part of it, too.
It's possible.
I hate to, let's not shame the rich. There's nothing wrong with a little bit of success. And if you want to spend $700 on a ticket, and you can, I hope you get a waiter with it and some sushi or something, because I think that's a lot for a regular season baseball game or really any sporting event.
I'm just glad you're standing up for the rich.
It's a really relatable stance that I've taken. So and I am not a member of that class. I know people think, oh, you're from Glencoe. You, of course, are. I have never spent anywhere near that amount of money on a sporting event ticket.
No. No, I have not.
Just gambling on them.
Gambling on them, of course. Of gambling. But that was to make money, Campy.
That was an investment.
That was an investment gone wrong.
You ever buy a stock?
We've all done that.
Like in a stock market game in school or now?
That's the other part of it. Yes. National title game face value was like $350 or $400. Most expensive sporting event ticket I've bought, because World Series tickets, I was in 525 and got very lucky to get some face value tickets to that game.
Yeah, I did face value for the World Series, the game, the one that I paid for.
Right.
I got face value for that. Lucky to get that as well.
Yeah.
So no, I don't
400, I think
tops anything that I've spent for a ball game. My brother who likes to do like certain bucket list events.
Yeah, of course.
And he's got all the money. And he's spent a lot more than that. I've been the beneficiary.
On the secondary market.
Oh, yeah. I've been the beneficiary of such things, but I've never done such things myself.
Supply and demand speaks. Yeah. We're going to make you money with this celebrity picker coming up.
That's right. Oh, and the other thing, real quick.
Oh, sorry.
No way James Shields is the opening day starter for the Chicago White Sox. No way. They will try to find, unless he has some phenomenal spring training and they decide to reward him for being a good guy on a bad team. They're going to want to inspire just a little bit of hope and confidence by throwing Giolito out there if he has a decent spring.
Do they open at home? Maybe home opener Giolito opening day. I don't know if they're on the road. James Shields, leader in the clubhouse. I think he's got a shot at it.
We've got time to sort this stuff.
Yes, we do. Let's get an update. Man, we're going to have the Olympics soon.
Man, the majesty. Don't you feel more classy immediately? Don't you feel like our moment just got a lot bigger? The playing of that music. I do.
Okay. So the IOC stuff, I don't know, you can keep it. But I really do like the Olympics.
Yeah, man.
Or look, classy.
You look past that stuff when the games are actually going on.
That's true. I'm being honest.
I know, I understand. But the athletes usually are able to give you the quality of competition that lets you overlook any of that other stuff that might get in your head.
Well, I'm looking forward to talking to our next guest, Palos Heights native. She's in Florida now. Kendall Coyne, one of the best female hockey players in the country, in the world. And she's about to head to South Korea for the Olympics, and she's going to pick some NFL games a little bit later on. How's it going, Kendall?
Good. How are you doing?
We're doing very well. Thank you very much for the time. So what's it like being about a month away from the Olympics in South Korea?
It's really exciting. We've been working really hard here in Florida. We've been down here since September training, so we're excited to get over there and get going.
How was your experience in Sochi? It was such a bizarre atmosphere to watch, and the whole ramp up and everything. Did that feel nice and clean for you, or was it weird to be in Russia?
That one of the cool parts of being a hockey player is the places that my career has taken me across the world. It was an awesome experience, awesome atmosphere. We didn't have any issues over there, except we didn't bring home a gold medal.
Well, this time, right?
Yeah, that's the goal.
So, and listeners today can help your family get to South Korea for the Olympics by eating at Bona Beef in Orland Park. That's 9525 West 131st Street. 20% of all sales today help your family go. I think that's something that some people take for granted about all of this, right? Like, your family's got to figure out a way to commute to watch you compete.
Absolutely, and that's one of the toughest parts and one of the most amazing parts. Speaking back to Sochi was the moment I saw my entire family over there. You know, obviously I'm the one playing, the name that people recognize, but, you know, without them, I wouldn't be there, and the sacrifices they've made for my hockey career. So just for them to be over there is the most meaningful part of the Olympics for me, and just it was such a surreal experience in Sochi having them there. So 4 years later, Pyeongchang, you know, obviously the financial commitment is severe. So I'm thankful for Buena Wee for doing this tonight or today. And then we had a fundraiser at the Arctic Ice Arena in Orland back in November, and there was a great turnout there too.
That's really cool. So Bona Beef in Orland Park, 9525 West 131st Street. All sales today, 20% of them, help her family get there. Do you play better in front of your family? Or do you tighten up at all with the pressure of them being there, or no?
No, I would say I play better with them there.
You do? So what happens? The focus just ramps up a little bit? You want to show them your best?
A little bit of that, and I just think of how much effort and sacrifice and just the side jobs and the sacrifices that they've made for me to play this game. And, you know, just thinking about all that when I'm had the opportunity to represent my country at the highest level, it kind of fuels you.
I assume your fiance, Michael Schofield, on the Broncos will be attending the Olympics in South Korea.
Yeah, it's actually Schofield, and he's on the Los Angeles Chargers. He will be attending as well.
Well, two fact errors in one question. That's not terrible, Kendall. I apologize. I apologize. No disrespect intended. But he'll be going to South Korea?
He will be, yes.
And I was reading a story about how you guys met and trained together. Can you share that with our audience?
Yeah, it's two elite athletes with one common goal to be the best that they can be. And, you know, we're obviously each other's best friend. And but when we get in the weight room, it's all bets are off. And we just bring out the best in each other and just work hard day in and day out.
Do you have ways that you compete against each other? Like, do you figure out percentage of body weight lifted or those kind of things to try and level the playing field and battle each other?
Yeah, we actually do that a lot because our weight difference is significant. But he'll come on the ice and play defense sometimes. And sometimes I get to pretend to be a D end and try and get around him.
Oh my God. Your size as a DN, I've always loved short pass rushers. I've always had a thing. I really have. Like, you know, Robert Mathis, Dwight Freeney, Elvis Dumervil,
people. She's 5'2".
All right. That's a little shorter than, like, you know, the 5'9" pass rushers I'm talking about. But you should be able to get under. You should be able to get excellent leverage coming around the end, Kendall.
Oh, absolutely. And sometimes he's like, this is so unrealistic. And I'm like, so is a 6'7" defenseman in women's hockey. So we're even.
So who's better? Like, is Schofield better at hockey, or are you better at football?
Well, see, we've all been able to run since we were kids. And he's new to skates. So I think I edge him here.
Yeah, I bet you, like so he's 6'7", and you're 5'2", and then he gets on skates at 6'7". He's, like, 7 feet tall. Like, is that realistic practice for you at all? Like, what does that do for you?
It's definitely a huge defenseman. It's actually his skates that get me all the time because his feet are size 16.
Oh my God. Man. Yeah, I'm picturing Zdeno Chara of the Bruins, but bigger.
Yes.
Even bigger somehow. You might be onto something with the 5'2" pass rusher. I mean, because, like, you could go through legs and just between guys, and you'd have to finish the tackle, but you're a strong woman. So could you finish the tackle if need be?
Well, usually we have, like, a fake quarterback because we'll train at Sandberg, go on the turf, and we'll have, like, a garbage can, and that's the quarterback that I have to try and tap. And then, but every rep, I'm like, am I like Von Miller yet? Am I getting there? haven't even sniffed it, but I can dream.
And are you putting on shoulder pads when this is happening? Like, how all out are we going?
Oh, no. It's just, like, we're just in our workout clothes.
Okay.
And he's just working on his He's working on his, like, footwork, or I don't know. He tells me what he's working on, but I just, my goal is to get to that garbage can.
Danny, did you just ask her if she's wearing shoulder pads?
Yeah. Like, is he getting on the ice in full pads? Like, I want to, these are elite athletes. Well, yeah, that's true. Training.
I mean, if you're firing pucks at him, he ought to be wearing some
pads. Right, so I mean, I assume pads are involved in some of these exercises.
Oh, yeah. He has shin guards, helmet. He's usually, like, has a lot more gear on.
Yeah, see, Speaks, it wasn't as bad as my first question when I mispronounced her name and got the team wrong.
Well, that's okay, all right. You can still top that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Give me some time. Again, go out to Bona Beef in Orland Park. 20% of all sales today help her family go to the Olympics in South Korea. You want to pick some NFL games against the spread, Kendall Coyne?
Sure.
Okay, now this is very important because our celebrities all season long have been doing better than any football expert we've got on. So pressure's on, okay?
Oh boy. Okay.
All right. Steelers -7 against the Jaguars. Who does U.S. Olympian and Palos Heights native Kendall Coyne like?
I'm going to take the Steelers.
All right, how come?
I think they have a lot of momentum, and, you know, with the Shazier injury, they're playing for him, and it's just, I mean, Jags defense is great, but I still think they're going to walk away with it.
All right. Sounds good.
Knowledge.
Yeah, ton of knowledge here. We'll stay in the AFC. Patriots -13.5. Who do you like, Patriots or Titans?
I'm going to have to go with the Patriots.
That did not sound exciting. Join the rest of the universe. Acknowledging the Patriots' excellence, but wanting them to lose? Kendall?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. And then last game for you, Saints +5. So Minnesota -5 against the Saints. Who do you like?
I'm going to take the Saints.
Saints and the points.
I'm a big Drew Brees fan.
Okay.
Short quarterback, Kendall. You know, a lot of people thought he was too short for the position. Screw that. He's Drew Brees, right?
Right. And he's experienced. He's proven himself. I think I'm going to go with the Saints.
All right.
Do you have a favorite Blackhawk, Kendall?
Current or former?
Wherever you like.
I feel like the answer to this is yes.
That's an excellent question. Yeah, give me former first.
Okay, because I've been a Blackhawks fan my whole life. but Chelios was always my favorite. I was number 7 in everything as a kid. Mm. Then current, I'd have to go with Patrick Kane.
Yeah, he's pretty good. The Kane guy is pretty good. So Chelios still has that place in your heart, even with the, he deserted you. You know, he went to Detroit.
I know. I don't hold it against him. I was too young to kind of be mad about it. And I'm really excited that he's going to be on the bench at the Olympics. And there's a Granato on the bench. It's just all the good mojo's lining up.
There you go. All right, a Granato, a Chelios, and a Kendall Coyne. Good luck in the Olympics. Good luck raising the money. Everybody go to Bona Beef in Orland Park on 131st Street and help support Kendall's family so they can get there too.
Thank you for your time, Kendall.
Thank you.
It's fun talking to her.
Yes, it was. Yes, it absolutely was.
I enjoyed it.
I did too.
What's going on with you?
Nothing's going on with me.
Yes, there's something.
You really hate offensive linemen, don't you?
I don't hate offensive linemen. I read an article. I messed up, and her correction was fantastic.
You only messed up on the pronunciation of his name and what team he's on, right?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah, that's not terrible.
I've done worse than that today.
Yeah. No, I was just laughing at the text line. They were getting on me, and then they were just saying that we should cap off the interview with you asking her if she works out. So I was just enjoying the text line show better than the show we were doing.
It is Marian Hossa's birthday. This would be the day to ask.
Oh, I should have missed opportunity.
I basically did. You're strong. I told her she was strong. Do you ever tackle the quarterback?
I mean, you work out a lot, Kendall.
At least I didn't find like the lowest moment of her career or life and point that out.
That was good of you. You're learning.
Yeah.
You're learning. Good job. Good job.
So sorry, that was what was going on with me. The text line was doing a better show than I was. That segment. We'll talk to Burstein and Goff at 1. We're back obviously well before that on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Yeah. Ending the week on a high note. We are professional broadcasters.
We are. Hey, man. At least one of us is.
Yeah.
I teach an interviewing class.
Jay Zawoski is, based on those reads.
Yet to have a student for my interviewing class, but I do teach one. Yeah, Jay, what was the word? What was the word this time for Jay?
Are you dying?
It was burp. The word was burp. No, it was pass.
What does pass have to do with anything?
Like backstage pass?
Ah!
Or I'm a hard pass?
When it comes to Dave Matthews?
Look, they had to come up with a lot of keywords, all right? Back off.
It is a football thing as well, right? So pass in a football sense?
I guess, yep.
I suppose. Would be,
Defense was one of the other ones.
It was. Defense was one of the others. Well, that was about Jay arguing about the Dave Matthews Band on Twitter. He was coming to Dave's defense on the Twitters.
I was. You're right.
I understand.
Yep.
You don't get the hate. You just don't understand.
I don't understand why the man himself is hated. If you don't like the music, that's fine. If you don't like the fans, that's fine.
Have you seen the movie Lady Bird yet,
Not
Jay?
Yet.
It's very, very good. I saw it last night as part of a double feature. We went out and saw two movies, and Lady Bird was the first one. Very, very good. I thought very subtle, powerful, and emotional. I think you'd like it. But a Dave Matthews song plays a fairly key role.
Oh, really?
In there. So,
which
yeah.
one?
I don't want to tell you because it's a great moment when they play it, but it's 2002. So all the songs and the cultural references are 2002.
Gotcha. Saoirse Ronan is one of my favorites. I am a sucker for an Irish accent. And I know she doesn't use it in the movie, but
no, she has a phenomenal American accent in the movie.
Yeah. She's good at faking that.
Mm-hmm. Highly recommend. And then
you saw the post.
Saw the post. We were debating either I was going to make her watch Star Wars for the second time, which I still haven't seen, but instead I made her watch the post, which she was not super excited to see.
Yeah.
She ended up falling asleep. I liked the post, but I didn't love the post.
Did the Lady Bird experience before it, like, tinge your enjoyment of the post?
Absolutely.
I would imagine.
Because the Lady Bird thing was much more about feelings, emotions, subtlety, you know, things unsaid. And then the post is just about this incredibly dense dialogue and exchange about journalism and government and history.
God,
right
I
up your alley, man.
I love that stuff.
So do I. I think I would have liked it more had it been reversed, very possibly. But
how does the post compare to other journalism movies, like whether All the President's Men or Spotlight?
Nowhere close to as compelling as Spotlight for me. Not
okay, because I love Spotlight. Okay.
So do I.
Okay.
Not close to as compelling and well done as Spotlight.
Okay.
In my opinion. And All the President's Men is an absolute classic.
I agree.
It's like the standard bearer of the genre, isn't it?
I agree.
That kind of thing.
I love it's right up my alley.
Yeah, no.
So I'm very excited to see it.
I think you will very much like it. And I did like it. I just didn't love it. And the other thing is, like, you know, I wanted to go see the Star Wars, and I still will on the big screen because it's on the big screen. You want to see explosions and, you know, exciting effects and stuff. All I really got with the post was, like, you know, how they make a newspaper.
It's not a must-see in a theater.
I could have very happily, comfortably waited for it and watched it at home.
For video on demand or
sure,
whatever.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay.
I will say, though, the process of making a newspaper is ridiculous. Or at least it was.
It's still pretty ridiculous.
But, my God, they're like, all right, I got this. We got 4 hours to type it up. Start. And then he types it up. And then it's like, all right, give it to Jimmy. Jimmy got 30 minutes to...
There's always a Jimmy.
...to retype it up. Okay. All right, run it down there to the presses. Now, take every letter with a piece of metal and put it all together.
Yeah.
Line it all up together, and then that's one page. All right?
Jim.
It's been 4 hours, okay? We've got one page ready to go. All right, stop the presses. Start the presses. It's going to take 7 hours to make the newspaper. I was like, oh, my God. Like, how do they do that all the time?
Well, you know, it's where newspaper men get some of their arrogance from. Like, it's a true amount of labor to get something out on a deadline and get it into the above the fold, below the fold, with the image and the graphics and the sections, all that stuff.
And now it's like, let me grab the phone out of my pocket and, you know, wipe the pizza sauce off my thumb as I tweet.
Get something up on the website real quick. Right. 400-word blog post.
Yeah, here you go.
Yeah, hit send.
I made news. It's kind of a different world.
Yeah, slightly different world.
This just in.
So you have appreciation for the newspapers before technology killed newspapers, is what you're saying.
Yes.
I understand.
And I dig that. That part
That might have been... Newspapers matter, man.
Yeah, like, and how newspapers worked and, like, what levels they had to go through and the lawyers being involved. Yeah, you're going to love all that stuff.
I'm sure I will.
Yeah.
I'm sure, because newspapers, people say newspapers are dead. They're not.
Mm-hmm.
They are still unbelievably relevant in terms of, especially in terms of local reporting. Everybody else aggregates off of the newspapers. Right. It's just the hard copy of the newspaper is dead. Like the content and the brand, like, mm-hmm. like the Chicago Tribune, that brand's not going anywhere in terms of a content provider for this town. It's just the hard copy is tough because people want up to the minute stuff, and
right.
the newspaper can sometimes feel dated. If you don't read the morning paper, it can feel a little bit dated by 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, no, I understand. It's interesting how that this moment that it captures, that the Post captures, is precursor to Watergate. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's precursor to Watergate. And it's also, it fills in some blanks for me that perhaps should not have been blank, but Robert McNamara and the whole design behind the Vietnam War for multiple presidencies and stuff like that. Yeah, it's really, really interesting and really, of course, still timely.
This segment brought to you by Credit Karma. Get your truly free credit score and free credit monitoring from Credit Karma. Download the Credit Karma app today. Credit Karma, get knowing. How is your... fourth different stuffed / deep dish pizza in 8 days going
it,
down.
It actually, it's a double up because we ended up getting the stuffed. So it's the Art of Pizza stuffed, and it's excellent.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it myself. So I'm going to eat more as we wait for Transition with Bernstein and Goff. And they're live at Cubs convention, so you should go see them on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.